Hello, Red Shirts, and welcome to another episode of Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today, with all the recent buzz over the release of some videos of various sensor data of unidentified aerial phenomena, the new term for UFO, I decided to explore what if and apply it to the realm of role-playing games. But first, there's a call-in from Kevin from the Red Caps podcast about my last episode, number 196, where I talked about my solo RPG efforts.
Knows how to wield a sword, spells arcane and divine, up on a shield to a wolf, and if you have the time, he's got a mean sales pitch, he even makes it rhyme. Some people wanna die poor. I can't imagine why. They say once you fuck a bomb, there's nothing left to buy. But if you wanna die rich, go coin the bomb both eyes. Then raise up your long sword, follow me and die. Yeah, raise up your long sword.
Hi, it's Kevin from the Red Caps podcast here on Anchor. Just listening to your episode 196 on solo RPGs, I wanted to give you a quick voicemail and say it was a great episode. I'm glad you enjoyed all of Deborah's videos on YouTube, The Geek Gamer. She had a lot of fantastic knowledge in there. I've done an interview with her on my podcast, just going over her thoughts on solo RPGs, and it was a great time. If you're looking for other resources, the two I would recommend would be Tale of the Manticore. It's an actual play podcast of his solo adventures, and he has done a bunch of interviews of behind-the-scenes stuff, as well as a Twitter account called PPM Gamer, Parts Per Million Gamer. He has written a lot of solo RPG books, taking an existing system and rewriting it for solo play. So those are a couple of resources for you. Keep up the great work. I will listen and talk to you again soon. Take care.
Knows how to wield a sword, spells arcane and divine, up on a shield to a wolf, and if you have the time, he's got a mean sales pitch, he even makes it rhyme, and if you need a job, this is his go-to line. Some people wanna die poor, I can't imagine. They say once you fuck a bomb, there's nothing left to buy. But if you wanna die rich, go coin the bomb both eyes. Then raise up your long sword, follow me and die. Yeah, raise up your long sword, follow me and die.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for the call-in and the suggestion of resources. I'll check those out. I haven't done a lot with solo gaming since my podcast. I did set up Roll20 so I can use it to facilitate solo play in RPGs, and I've done a little bit with that. And I also added the solo game Dwarf Mine to Roll20 to play it there, and that eliminates needing to print out a Dwarf Dungeon map sheet or sketch it out on graph paper. And I've played a game there, and that seemed to work somewhat okay. I am hoping to do a little bit more with that. With finally getting warmer around here in southwest Michigan, I've been busy on weekends with yard work and stuff, trying to enjoy the outdoors a little bit more. I've got to get it in while I can. My favorite time of year, lack of cold toes. Cold toes are the things I like least about winter, and summer, I don't have to worry about that. So one thing, when it gets hot, I try to remind myself at least my toes aren't cold. So it's been about a month since my last episode, and I need a bit of an update. I feel like it's something to share. It's a personal update. I've been feeling pretty wiped out and unmotivated and just kind of really struggling to wake up in the morning or not fall asleep sitting at my desk. I noticed that skin and fat was hanging off me, and I know that my biceps were bigger than that. I decided to weigh myself, and I'd lost about 20 pounds in 2 months, which that's slightly quicker than the recommended 2 pounds a week, but I wasn't working out heavily and wasn't eating as well as I should have. And I went to the doctor, and I was right. I was diagnosed with diabetes. It didn't surprise me because I'd seen my father go through the sudden weight loss, and he was diagnosed. It runs on both sides of my family. Both my parents had it. And of my two brothers and sister, I'm the oldest, and I was the last one to develop diabetes, so I guess I win that competition. Yay! I got put on insulin to help get my blood glucose under control, and the plan is once it is under control, I can switch to a pill. The oral meds won't work unless the glucose is under control. My brother, just younger than I, he worked his butt off when he developed diabetes and he was able to get off insulin. I'm aiming to do the same thing. I'm doing fine with the injections. They're not full-blown syringes like they used to be. They have these pre-filled injectors that you screw on a cap that has a short needle in it. And so you're not having to draw it out of bottles and whatnot. You still do it in either your abdomen, your thighs, or your upper arm. The injections aren't bad. It's the finger sticks. And for me, it's getting the blood drop big enough to activate the test strip, because now everything's all electronic. You stick the test strip in the meter, it turns on the meter, and then when you get enough a big enough drop of blood on there that it completes the circuit, then it does its thing. Well, I'm not getting the blood in the right spot, so it doesn't do what it's supposed to, and I end up having to go through. I went through 50 strips a lot quicker than I should have. I'm getting better at that slowly. Thankfully, I don't have a problem limiting what I eat. I just wish I hadn't lost so much muscle, you know. I mean, why can't it burn off all the fat? I got plenty of that to burn off. The good news is I'm finally starting to get my energy back. I'm more able to focus. My thinking is clearer, I've got energy, I'm not feeling tired, and that all does wonders for motivation when you've got energy and are not falling asleep just sitting in the chair. I'm hoping to get back on track with more frequent blog posts, podcasts, and videos. So far, so good. So, as we all probably know, there's been lots of talk about various videos that have been released in the last couple of years, and a report that the appropriate officials are supposed to make to Congress sometime next month in June. It just rattled around in my brain for a while, and I had the idea of what if, and apply it to the realm of role-playing games. And in doing my thinking, I did a lot of research, and I watched a ton of videos that looked at these UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena, to try to figure out what it was, because sensor data picked it up, and in some cases it was seen visually. Whatever it is, the technology that would make these devices operate the way they do doesn't make sense, and the science fiction realm seems to offer many potential explanations for my way of thinking. Some of these videos talk about things written about in Roman times, and some of these descriptions fit the flying shields that Romans talked about, and then that reminds me of the Project UFO TV show when I was a kid. And then also some of the fantastic documentaries of that period that were just total hogwash, cherry to the gods. And then those History Channel shows. History Channel hasn't had much history on it. Just a bunch of weird stuff last time I watched it. It was just getting weirder and weirder and less history. Anyway, So I just started making a list of what could be the source of these UAPs, aka UFOs. By making a list, it's easy to add to it, add notes, and so forth. And there are enough fringe ideas out there that you can find ample material online from videos, podcasts, blog posts, Facebook comments, you know, wherever you go, you're going to be able to find somebody that has an opinion about this. And as I come across more ideas, I keep adding to it. So what might be behind these phenomena? And remember, this is from a role-playing game scenario. Before I dig into the list, I do believe in unidentified flying objects. That means you don't know what it is. I have had friends comment about the, did you see those string of lights going across the sky? The Starlink. Well, if you don't know what it is, it's unidentified. Doesn't mean it's not real. It just means you don't know what it is. Is it aliens? Well, show me. I grew up in Missouri. Show me. I suppose it's possible, but let's go through this list I came up with to help inform role-playing games. There's the lizard people and other fringe beliefs. And that got me to thinking, did that TV show V about the lizard people aliens come before or after the idea of lizard people running the world took place? Maybe the cryptobiologic life forms that we talk about are behind these things. You know, Bigfoot, Yeti, Nessie, and many other such creatures. Maybe it's a mad scientist or some other driven individual. Maybe it's someone like Captain Nemo from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Maybe it's lost civilizations, the people of Atlantis or Lemuria. Maybe it's some sort of natural phenomenon, like maybe they're actual life forms native to Earth. You know, the vehicles are actually living creatures. Maybe some unknown branch of life evolved and developed technology long before humanity, and that falls into something called the Silurian hypothesis, which is the idea that if there were advanced civilizations before humanity, could we identify them? And that was a mental exercise a couple of scientists started, and some people ran with it and said, oh, they are saying that dinosaurs had civilization. That's not what they're saying. They were saying, if that existed, could we find it? And that was an exercise to prepare for if we ever go to another planet, could we identify a long fallen civilization? Supposedly in 10,000 years after humanity ends, there will be no signs left due to weathering. I don't know if that's true or not, but the pyramids have been around a while, so they're still here. Maybe it's other dimensions. They're not aliens, but creatures or humans from the Earths of other dimensions. Maybe they're time travelers. They don't have to be aliens, but time travelers from Earth. Maybe they're tweaking the timeline to avoid the end of civilization as we know it and preserve or improve things in their own time. Then there's aliens. Maybe it's some lone group of aliens observing us. Maybe it's a galactic committee, a galactic council, a federation, a confederation, or whatever organization they have, and they're observing us to evaluate whether or not to accept us into the fold. Maybe they're quote-unquote creators. Ancient aliens crashed here and are our forebears, and these are their descendants coming looking for them. Maybe aliens seeded life here and are raising us for some unknown purpose, and that reminds me of a couple of Twilight Zone episodes, To Serve Man and A Small Talent for War. If you haven't seen either of those, you want to check those out because they've got some very brilliant plot twists there. Sort of related to that, we are an experiment. So, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, we're the computer, or something else. Maybe they're masters of the hologram slash program slash machine. So if reality is a hologram, maybe these incursions are observers on whatever purpose the hologram has for them. And so those are just a few ideas to kind of explain what might be behind such unidentified aerial phenomena. And then they have different shapes. The different shapes could suggest either different functions or purposes, like the difference between a car and a truck, or a helicopter and a jet, or they could be different factions, and each one has their own style of vehicle. And the shapes reported are cylinders, spheres, saucers, triangles, octahedrons, cubes, and so forth. And so you could easily assign various shapes to the above list to come up with different factions in your own campaign. That then leads us to, how would this fit in? A whole brand new RPG could come of this. You could use it for the basis for a campaign or a scenario for a one-shot or convention game. And you could fit these into any genre and era. So some of this we've already seen. The movie Cowboys and Aliens, which I understand is based on a comic. Gangbusters and Aliens. We saw that with the original Star Trek episode, A Piece of the Action. World War II and Aliens. There have been lots of TV shows and movies about that. Apocalypse and Aliens. Movies and TV shows about that. Post-apocalypse and Aliens. Straight-up science fiction. Sword and Planet, etc. And you can substitute aliens with anything from the above list of possibilities of what I came up with, and that's not an exhaustive list. And just add your own twist to that. Whatever these real world things are, hopefully we'll learn more somewhat soon following the report to Congress next month, and it may not be till the end of the month. And as a kid, once I understood what was meant by UFO, I've wanted it to be real, that they are real objects that are not just explained away. Who hasn't wanted it? But all the decades of there are other explanations that cover everything except a minuscule number of sightings for which more evidence is needed, well, it makes sense when new secret planes are spotted. But to hear that evidence supports that these things are real requires a lot of rethinking. Because we have to unlearn what people in my age bracket, I'm going to be 57 at the end of September, were trained to believe. And then we have to figure out what it means for us, individually, as our families, as nations, and as a planet. And it's the not knowing what they are or how they function leaves me with the greatest sense of the fear of missing out, FOMO, because I want to live long enough to know the answer. I'm a naturally curious person. I really wish I could talk to my dad about this stuff. He was in the Air Force in the late 1950s. He was too young for Korea and too old for Vietnam, but he was a radar operator on Okinawa, and he said that the Chinese would send jets to see how far they got before jets were scrambled as a test of the air defenses. My dad said that they could actually see them taking off, but waited to scramble the jet so they couldn't figure out that they could be seen taking off. But I don't recall him ever mentioning seeing anything weird, so I messaged my siblings to see if they could recall anything, and they didn't recall him mentioning anything like that either. My brother suggested he might have signed an NDA. I don't know if you sign an NDA as part of government. I don't know how that works, since I've never been in that position, but if government makes you sign an NDA, let me know. But I'm sure if he had, he'd be telling us all the weird stuff he saw with all the current revelations by the government. And he said, oh yeah, we saw stuff like that, because that would be in line with stuff that everybody else already knows. But sadly, I can't ask him. Who knows what those are? Hopefully, it's something positive, and the positive I'm taking away is, well, that's just more fodder for coming up with ideas for games. Whatever your take or belief is on that, I'm sure you can agree that using it as fodder to come up with game ideas is perfectly valid. What are your thoughts on using these ideas that are sparked by thinking about these unidentified aerial phenomena, or as my generation called them, UFOs? What ideas leap to mind for you? And do you have ideas for the best rule set to use? Do you plan to start hashing out your own game right now, planning a campaign or a one-shot? Let me know. As always, I thank you for listening. I hope you're doing well. We're nearing the end of the line, hopefully for COVID, as things are finally settling down with more and more people getting vaccinated. I hope you're all doing well, staying healthy in mind and body and spirit. And as always, game on. So this week, I decided to try my hand at solo role-playing after watching most of the solo RPG playlist of Geek Gamers, and I'll link that in the show notes. And the first thing I did was I developed a rubric for each day of travel and all the other things that tend to happen with an adventure. I'm using the AD&D Dungeon Master's Guide, Kelry's Encounters PDF, and Scarlet Heroes for the Oracle. Plus, I'm using various ideas from a whole bunch of different bloggers. So first, I rolled up my character. I rolled 4d6 and dropped the lowest for each stat in order. And I actually rolled a 16 intelligence and a 16 dexterity, so I've got an illusionist. The other stats aren't that great. I guess he did have a 15 con, which that helped. I wish I could roll that good when I'm getting to have a more serious game. But I named him Morpheus Phantasos, which is a name I reused from an illusionist character I created in another group a few years ago. So Morpheus hired a light horse soldier to travel to the dungeon, which I determined randomly was 5 hexes away. I didn't define the size of the hexes other than to say it takes 2 days to walk across a hex or a day mounted to cross a hex. And because it was 5 hexes and I was rolling 3 encounter checks a day and 1 per watch at night, I figured I'd have one. Surprisingly, there were no encounters. I wish I could roll that well, or the DM would roll that well when I'm a player. I also was determining, do they find water? Because a water skin isn't going to last you more than a day if you're realistic about it. And we found water with a yes, but, and so I decided it made sense for the but to be that the water was contaminated, but the hireling made his save. Morpheus didn't, and he got sick. So we finally get to the town that's near the dungeon, but there was no room in the inn for the first night, and the second night, we finally were able to sleep in the common room, and that's because Morpheus needed a few days to recover from drinking the bad water. He also hired 3 more hirelings, with the plan of the horse soldier watching the camp and the 3 going down with Morpheus. And those 3 tried to turn on us on the way to the dungeon, but they managed to fail a save versus hypnotism where Morpheus suggested, just forget about robbing us. You'll get way more gold in the dungeon. And they all failed their save, thankfully, so there wasn't a fight. However, I did roll that there was a mishap, broken equipment. And I said, well, it makes the most sense that the saddle strap was cut because they were planning to jump us, but they forgot about it when I told them to forget about it with a spell. So that sounds like something that would typically happen during an adventure. And we finally found the dungeon, and it took like 3 days to find it. I kept rolling, did we find the dungeon? Nope. Did we find the dungeon? Nope. And so once we finally found it, I rolled up the entrance using the AD&D Dungeon Master's Guide. And we go down the steps and immediately find 7 orcs. And the orcs weren't sure what to do, so thankfully Morpheus speaks orc, and as an illusionist, he used hypnotism to convince 6 of them to work together with him to get more loot worthy of the orc lord. And I made up this on-the-spot random chart, what they were doing there, and I rolled that they were going to find the orc lord. But the orc lord doesn't live in this dungeon, so I don't know why they're in this dungeon, other than I guess maybe they're looking for some loot. However, one of them was against this plan, but I managed to convince the others who I'd hypnotized that he was plotting something, and they took care of him, and thankfully nothing came to investigate the noise of that fight. So then we went into the next room we found, and we fought some skeletons, and we took them out, but they dropped 2 of the orcs. We found a little bit of treasure. There was also a little bit of treasure in the room the orcs were in, and the fight attracted a couple of zombies. Well, we may have gotten to attack first, but those are 2 hit dice, so they had a lot more hit points. And we finally dropped them, but they took out some more of the orcs and 2 of the 3 hirelings that I picked up in town. We went a little bit further and found a chest with some coins and a secret compartment that had an alchemy jug. And we heard fighting in another room. Another party of adventurers was fighting something. And since we had lost so many that we took down there or met down there, we decided to leave. And thankfully, the horse soldier hireling was still there. Nothing came and ate his head. So we had a place to camp. And unfortunately, the orcs decided that they liked the loot more than they liked the little agreement we had. And thankfully, we managed to win that fight. That was a near thing. We then overnighted in our camp without incident, and the next day made it back to town. I tallied up the XP and managed to have enough to level up, actually more than enough to level up. Finding a magic item sure helped, because it wouldn't have leveled up without that. So now Morpheus Phantasos is a second level illusionist, and that's where I left it off. I haven't had a chance to get back to play, even though I keep thinking about it like you do when you had an interesting time. Now, way back in the day, I thought about solo roleplay and using the Dungeon Master's Guide to generate stuff, but I didn't have a solo engine to facilitate the play. And because I didn't have one and didn't think of one, I just like, this doesn't make any sense. How do you do this? But since I spent all this time watching a few YouTube videos and pulling together different resources that I thought I would need for what I wanted to do, I can see the appeal. And it also gives me lots of ideas for making adventures or new tables to use during adventures or adventure creation. The one thing, though, is I do need to come up with a better flowchart to run the monsters and the NPCs if there's a fight. I want it to be more than just reaction and morale checks. And I've got a couple of tables from blogs for monster activity. And I rewatched Runehammer's Monster Mind video from 2017 again, but I want something more general that can be applied across the board. Sure, I can make my own, but I'd like a peek at something somebody else has done because, you know, it's hard to keep coming up with stuff from scratch. After a while, I start beating my head against the wall. And so I want a general framework for a monster AI and not something that you have to handcraft for each monster. And so I'm making notes and coming up with a general explanation of a system, but trying to come up with something that isn't a lot of if-then checks is the challenge. The idea is to keep it analog and simple. And this framework I'm working on for how I approached solo roleplay, once I clean it up and have another adventure to make sure it's all smooth, I'll share my rough draft. I've already put together a rough draft of a PDF of my experience with solo RPG play, and I shared it on my Patreon. It needs a lot of cleanup before I share it with the world, and I've been adding a page of resources on the end, so I've got over a page of links to a couple different YouTube channels, a couple of blogs, a couple of two or three podcasts, a couple of Facebook groups, and so forth. But if you know of a blog that is focused on solo RPGs or at least regularly posts about solo RPGs, let me know. I'm aware of a couple, but, you know, put our minds together. And I'd also like to know about websites that focus on solo RPGs, that's like their thing. And then, of course, sites that have a section that touches on solo RPGs. And lastly, I'm really curious to hear about other people's experiences with solo RPGs. What interests you about solo RPGs? What was the hook? And of course, what solo engine or Game Master emulator are you using or have you used? And what RPG rule set or rule sets have you tried? Was it a positive, negative, or mixed experience? Have you written about it? If so, let me know. And you can reach me, of course, by calling in on the Anchor app, leaving a comment on the companion blog article that'll be linked in the show notes, or you can reach out to me via one of my social media accounts. I'll have a link to my Where to Find Me page that has all my different social media accounts. I thank you all for listening, and as always, game on.